The American Immigrant Show with Dr. Spurk is a space where immigrant stories become American stories. Challenges become inspiration, and real life experiences fuel hope, opportunity, and transformation. This show isn't just about surviving immigration. It's about thriving, contributing, and redefining what it means to be an American. Apartment units. Rod is also the host of Lifetime Cashflow Through Real Estate, investing a commercial real estate podcast he says has been downloaded more than 20 million times, and he has trained thousands of people in multifamily real estate investing mindset and financial growth. Rod, welcome to the American Immigrant Show.
No, it's great to see you, Dennis. I'm looking forward to this. Yeah, let's have some fun.
So it's been a while since we chatted last, maybe 6 months ago or so, and you had a lot of irons in the fire. You had a big event coming up, and it was we gave you a bit of a tour of the Bradenton area, but can you maybe give me an update as to where you are at the moment with your events and your show and your podcast?
Sure. Well, I'm blessed to host the largest real estate podcast really in the world now for commercial real estate. I'm going to brag a little more. We just discovered that my students now own, at last count, 305,000 multifamily units, which is more than everyone else that teaches this combined by a lot. So I'm very proud of that. And yeah, we know it's a lot more than that because not everybody responds to our requests for their count. But I've now bridged into other asset classes. I'm buying my 8th assisted living facility. My students own tons of assisted living facilities. They own lots of senior housing. They own lots of industrial flex space, student housing, self storage, you know, mixed use, and so. You know, it's not just multifamily anymore, which is very exciting. So on my podcast, we are talking about other asset classes now. And just very proud of the student success story. But that's what's happening for me. There's incredible opportunities, as you know, right now in multifamily, because a lot of operators have gotten into some trouble. And so a lot of deals being sold, and deals even being sold for less than they cost to build. And and then in senior housing, there's incredible opportunity as well, with 10,000 people a day turning 80 in this country. So, yeah, it's an exciting time, although it's a fearful time. So a lot of people are afraid right now because of the economic situation, the war in Iran and things like that. And so there's a lot of trepidation. A lot of investors have lost money in these multifamily deals that, you know, operators couldn't hold together. I mean, I know operators, very, very sophisticated operators, have their own jets that have lost properties in what's happening right now. So, and I've actually got a deal that's in trouble in San Antonio. So, you know, nobody's immune from it, but with crisis comes opportunity, and there's incredible opportunity right now to buy deals. So that's my first message here today.
Would you say that the issue in the apartment business is that people have balloons coming due, and maybe they can't renew the loans, they can't get the funding at the rates they had them previously, and maybe can't qualify like they did in the past?
That's one of the big reasons, absolutely. There's a huge wall of debt coming due in the multifamily space. I think it's $500 billion this year. And those operators have two options. They either have to sell or they refinance. Well, sales are down about 80%, 90%. And to refinance, you've got to meet debt service coverage requirements, meaning the property's ability to service the debt. And with the new interest rates, that doesn't happen. My SEC attorney that handles the syndications on the apartment complexes my students and I buy got 6 apartment complex foreclosures in one day. I'll give you another example. I've got a 200-unit apartment complex in San Antonio that right next door, a 300-unit sold for $43 million in late 2021. The bank got it back, and they were offering it for $28 million, 43 to 28. I wasn't interested unless they dropped it to 24, and somebody else bought it, which pissed me off because I really wanted it. But somebody paid between 24 and 28. That's what's out there right now, and there's incredible deals. And You know, the problem is, again, a lot of fear. But I want to remind your listeners that, you know, Warren Buffett's famous quote, be fearful when others are greedy. A lot of greed in 21 and 22. But the flip side of that quote is be greedy when others are fearful. And now there's fear. So now's the time to be a contrarian investor and step in because the deals are here.
So I remember being at one of your events in Orlando. It could have been about 18 months or 24 months ago. And you told some very interesting stories, and maybe you want the audience to hear some of your background and experience, because I believe, if I recall right, you actually came on a boat with your mother, I think 1966.
That's correct.
And your brother, is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, I immigrated to this country in 1966 with my brother Albert, my mother's Vantje, from the Netherlands. I was born in the Netherlands, you know, think wooden shoes and windmills. Ended up in Denver, Colorado, didn't have much. You know, I remember we shopped at an expired food store, believe it or not, they had that back then. Drank powdered milk with our cereal in the morning because it was cheaper than real milk. And I wore clothes from the Goodwill, hand-me-down clothes from the Goodwill all the way through junior high school till I finally lied about my age when I was 14, because you had to be 15 to get a job at Burger King. And luckily I was tall, so I got a job telling them I was 15 so I could buy my own clothes and then ultimately buy my own car. You know, and I know people have had it harder than I did, maybe even have it harder now, but I knew I wanted more. And luckily my mom had an incredible work ethic. So she babysat kids so we'd have enough money to eat. And with her babysitting money, she invested in real estate. And as you mentioned on my intro, she bought the house across the street from us when I was 14 for about $30,000. Then when I was 17, she told me she'd made $20,000 in her sleep that had gone up $20,000. I'm like, what? You made $20,000, you didn't do anything? Now keep in mind, it's 1977 when $20,000 was a lot more than it is now. And I said, screw college, I'm getting into real estate. So I got into real estate. My first year I made about $10,000, my second year about $10,000, but my third year I made over $100,000. So what happened between year two and year three that caused me to 10x my income? Well, what happened was I met a guy that taught me about the importance of mindset and psychology, and how 80 to 90% of your success in anything is your mindset and psychology. And so fast forward to today, I've owned over 2,000 houses that I've rented long-term, thousands of apartment units. And like I say, now I'm buying senior housing. But in 2006, my net worth went up $17 million while I slept. And I thought I was a freaking real estate god. And you know when that happens, God of the universe will give you a nice little smackdown. Well, that was 2008. In 2008, I lost $50 million. And so what I'm known for talking about on my podcast and in my boot camps is the mindset it took to have $50 million to lose in the first place. And maybe at least as importantly, maybe even more importantly, the mindset it took to recover from that. And that's what I'm known for is, and that's why my students are so successful. They actually do it because we spend time on mindset. So they, you know, they push through their fear and their limiting beliefs to take action.
And so do you want to talk for a few minutes about your students, what the courses cover and how people can learn from you? Because I know I subscribed and was a member formerly to your program, but just for the sake of the viewing audience, so they know more about you and what you do.
Yeah, they're called my warriors, and I do a virtual boot camp every 4 to 6 weeks, and now I'm charging $17, and I don't sell anything, so it's kind of a no-brainer. You get my deal evaluator software. I don't sell anything. It's 2 full days of training. So if you go to rodslinks.com, Rods plural, links plural.com, or text the word links to 72345 if you're driving, my boot camp site is there. There's a bunch of free resources there, free books. My podcast link is there. My social media links are there. There's a goal setting workshop. You know, the sad reality, Dennis, is people spend more time planning a birthday party than they do designing their lives. My goal setting workshop's there. You could take an hour, do it, have your spouse do it, have your kids, if they're over 10 years old, do it. I'm not going to try to sell you anything. There's a guide you can download. So again, that's all at rodslinks.com. And if you're serious about real estate, get your butt to my boot camp. It's literally, like I said, $17. So, you know, there's no excuses. And I don't sell anything there. And that's a really good introduction to the business. I spend about a half hour talking about my coaching program. That's it. But the other 10 to 12 hours is all training. So, yeah, no, it's...
And when is the next one coming up,
Rod? I just want to make it so reasonable that it'd be crazy not to do it. Yeah.
When is the next... workshop coming up that you just...
Well, actually this weekend, but I'll have another one about a month after that. So You know, if they go to Rod's links, it'll be posted. I don't know when this is airing live, but it'll be posted right away on Monday, right after the event, the new dates.
So we're going to take a short break for a minute, and when we come back, I want to talk to you about your comeback post 2008-9 and some other great stories you told at your big event in Orlando about a year and a half ago. So we'll be right back, okay?
Thank you.
And so welcome back to the American Immigrant Show. Our fabulous guest today is real estate expert Rod Cleef. I want to ask him some other important questions and hear his take on where we're at with the real estate economy at the moment.
Okay. I didn't know if that was a
So
question
we're
or not.
back.
Yeah,
We're
so
just
where we are with
back,
the real
okay?
estate economy is there's a lot of fear. Like I said in the last segment, there's a lot of fear right now, and it's harder to raise money for deals because of that fear. Although we were able to raise money for our senior housing deals very quickly because it's got sizzle with 10,000 people a day turning 80 in this country, but and will be for the next literally 2 decades. Yeah, I mean, again, with fear and crisis comes incredible opportunity. So if there was ever a time to get into this business, also, there's 10,000 people a day turning 65 in this country, and they have businesses that they own that they might want to sell. So it's a great opportunity to buy businesses as well. But if you're sitting there and you don't have time for your kids, or you don't have the time you want for your kids, or you don't have time and the freedom to go wherever you want, whenever you want, with whoever you want, and you deserve more, for God's sakes, pick a side hustle and do it now because the opportunities are here. Don't wait. Unless you absolutely freaking love where you are right now, don't be in the same place, 1 or 2 years from now, unless that's the case. Because the opportunity is absolutely here. If it's real estate, get your butt to my boot camp. If it's buying businesses, go learn that. Figure out what your side hustle is going to be and just go do it. Because, like Nike says, just do it.
So I remember you telling a story on stage about a year and a half ago about the hurricane coming to where you live in 24, I think it was, and that your house got flooded and you ended up like in a big mess situation. I know it's not directly related to real estate, but it does speak to endurance, resilience, and all the characteristics people need to succeed in business in general, but in real estate specifically, it takes a lot to accomplish the kinds of things you've done, especially where you're buying a $20 or $30 million asset, large complex. And so perhaps you could speak to that particular point.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a better one. Yes, I had $1 million worth of damage here to my compound. Luckily, I didn't get flooded, but a lot of damage. But I made out like a bandit. I got a new roof, I got new pavers, I got a new kitchen. I mean, I love Hurricane Ian. Hurricane Ian was good to me. But I'll give you a better example. There was a tornado at a 101 unit asset that I own in Dayton, Ohio, a suburb of Dayton called Beaver Creek. And 2 or 3 months after we bought it, it got destroyed by a tornado. I mean, destroyed. And thank God nobody died. And a couple people had to have surgery. Thank God no children got hurt. But I flew up there the next day and I'm driving down the street. I'm like, there's no damage. What's going on here? These houses look great. And then I saw my complex. I'm like, holy crap. I mean, it was destroyed. And so I pulled in there, and there's a moral to the story, but humor me for a minute. I want to explain what I saw. So there was a woman. Everybody had to move. All 101 families had to leave. There was a woman taking her clothes out, and I got a picture of her actually taking it out. And I said, "Were you here when it happened?" She said, "Yes, I was downstairs on the couch sleeping, and my son, thank God, was upstairs, and thank God for early warning system, because his phone went off. And by the time he got downstairs to wake me up, his bedroom was gone. And we looked up, and all you see is that tub. He would have died for sure if that early alarm hadn't gone off on his phone. But the reason I bring this up is, you know, multifamily, commercial real estate in general, is valued based on a multiple of the net income. We were able to get $600 rent. Now, this is an extreme example, so just let me preface this by saying that. But we were able to get $600 rent bumps on that asset, which at the time was a $10 million increase in value, okay? And so that's why we love this business, is you can accelerate, you can ramp the appreciation and force that appreciation with your own efforts. I'll give you another example, Dennis. I have a 296-unit asset in San Antonio, and we had a towing company stripe and paint numbers on the parking lot, and they paid for it because they wanted the towing contract, so we didn't even pay for it. We told the tenants, $25 a month, you can have a unit, you can have a spot right in front of your unit. It's $25 a month, first come, first serve. We had 100 people take us up on it. That was a $750,000 increase in value we didn't even pay for. Now, if you're listening, you're going to be like, Rod is an idiot, he can't do math. Well, let me give you the math, okay? Because I get hate every time I bring this up, so let me bring it up. So $25 a month times 100 tenants is $2,500. Annualize that number times 12 is 30,000, okay? At that time, properties like that one were selling for a 4% capitalization rate. That's how commercial properties valued is using the cap rate. And so divide 30,000 by 4% and see what you get, 750,000. So that's why we love this business, because you can force the appreciation through your efforts.
But also you notice that you can do the same application in other classifications of real estate, including retail, industrial, warehouse, and everything.
Every asset class, yeah.
The cap rates seem to be at 4% fairly low on apartments. Since you described earlier some of the issues.
It's higher now. It's probably higher. 6% on that asset now. But at that time, it was 4%. And candidly, a lot of people, including me, overpaid at that time. Okay, that's the particular asset that's struggling right now. And so, you know, and I teach this stuff when I got caught up in it. So, but yeah, that's all I was going to say about that, Dennis, is, you know, it is a, but, you know, that's how they're valued, is based on a multiple of the net income, and that multiple is the cap rate.
As I know, it's a long story, but maybe you can give an abbreviated version. Like I included, we were all in real estate, heavily invested in 2008 and 9, but you took particular steps and put it all on the line to recover, because you went from almost total devastation to like what I consider as hundreds of millions of real estate. Maybe you can describe what it is you had to do and what that took from a characteristics and personal.
Well, let me explain what happened first. So I had 800 houses and I had several apartment complexes, and it was the houses that pulled me down for several reasons. So one of the reasons was the logistics. So I had houses 2 hours north of me, 2 hours south of me, and everywhere in between. So it wasn't the wisest logistical move, but of course, Florida has no state income tax, so property taxes are a little higher. I had properties in wind and flood zones, so insurance is higher. Both those things impact cash flow. And but the thing that killed me was the maintenance. So these were C-class properties. You know, there's A, B, C, and D. A is the brand new stuff. D's the hood. These weren't the hood, but they were, you know, older properties, tougher demographic, a lot of maintenance. And if I send a maintenance guy to one of my apartment complexes, we could stockpile parts, plumbing parts, appliance parts, window locks, door locks, you name it, and they're in and out in an hour. Well, if I had to send a maintenance guy to one of my 800 houses, they have to go see what's wrong. Then they have to go find a Home Depot or a Lowe's where we have an account. And I don't know about you, Dennis, but when Rod's happy ass tries to fix something at his house, he ends up going to Lowe's or Home Depot more than once because he forgets something. And so, you know, what took an hour at one of my apartment complexes took all day at one of my 800 houses. So they never really cash flowed well. And by the way, I was only at a 30% loan to value. I only owed 30 cents on the dollar. I get hate all the time. Well, you were over leveraged. No, I wasn't. But you know what's interesting is by the end of 2009, you know, and I lost everything because I cross-collateralized my apartments with my houses, thinking that was smart to save some interest rate. But by the end of 2009, My portfolio was actually upside down. It actually dropped more than 70% here in Florida. And so, yeah, that's what happened here. But my multifamily would have survived, which is the reason I started my podcast. It only pulled back about 11%, but I lost them because I cross-collateralized them with packages of houses. But if I hadn't, I'd still own those apartment complexes. And that's why I started my podcast, to tell people, by God, if you're going to buy and hold real estate, for God's sakes, do multifamily, don't do single family. Ask me how I know.
Because you've been there and done that, right?
Been there, done that. I have the scars to prove it.
Yeah. And so I want you to know that I do marvel at what you've accomplished in a short number of years. And there's people don't understand what it takes to succeed in business, but in our case, real estate is where we mostly are invested. And so I think you'll agree that it takes a lot of will and perseverance, imagination, and a risk tolerance that's beyond the mainframe of most people that drive the freeways of our cities or our states. And so we're going to take another little break. And when I come back, I'll have other questions for you to do with real estate, financing, collateralization, and so on. Welcome back to the American Immigrant Show. Today we have a fabulous guest, real estate expert extraordinaire, Rod Cleef, a man who has achieved amazing things in the industry of real estate. Rod, welcome back. Glad to
Thank
have
you.
you.
Glad to be here.
We were talking about how you had some major losses. I think you said 50 million in 2008 and 9. And so I want to ask you about mindset and about how you were able to overcome all the challenges that that caused for you, and then how you were able to use your mind state to be able to get back on top to where you are today.
Sure. Love to talk about that. You also mentioned the book Think and Grow Rich when we were offline, and I don't know if you know, I think you got a copy at my live event. I have given away over 10,000 physical copies of that book so far in my career, and because it's a book you should read several times a year, Napoleon Hill, his book Think and Grow Rich. But so what happened, when I lost everything, and I will tell you, if you haven't decided to take action yet, these same strategies apply. The same strategies I utilized to come back from losing $50 million are the ones I used to have it to lose in the first place. So they're the ones you would use to get started. And the first thing is you got to figure out what it is you want, which is why if you come to one of my boot camps, the first thing we do is goal setting on steroids. Because how the hell do you get anything if you don't know what it is? You need to know what it is you want and why you want it. And that's why I mentioned my goal setting workshop on my Linktree, rodslinks.com. But if you come to my boot camp, then we will do it together. But the there is an episode that I or a clip that I did on my goal setting from one of my boot camps there at Rod's Links as well. But you got to do your goals. It starts with that, because that's how you push through fear and push through limiting beliefs to actually take action. That's why I have the most successful student program on the planet for real estate, more than everybody else combined, because the students actually do it. And so it starts with doing your goals. So you create that hunger or that burning desire, is what Napoleon Hill calls it in his book, Think and Grow Rich. So it starts there. Then you have to make a decision. And when I say a decision, I don't mean dip your toe in the water. I don't mean one foot in, one foot out. I mean it's done. When you make a decision, it's done. The Latin root for the word decision means to cut off. So if you're going to attack the island in battle, you burn your ships because you're taking their damn ships home. That's a decision. It's done. Okay? And sometimes that can be the biggest decision of your life, to actually go out and do a side hustle and create that freedom you want for your family and for your children and build a legacy for your children. So it starts with a decision. Then the next piece is you got to take the first step. You know, Dr. Martin Luther King said, you take that first step in faith, the next step will be revealed. And, you know, a lot of people have struggled with that. So when I lost everything, I reassociated with my goals. I decided, okay, enough is enough. I made a decision, get off your pity party and go make it happen again. And then I took that first step and I built a separate company. I won't go down the rabbit hole on that. But the point is, you've got to take the first step. And a lot of people fear failure. And I get a lot, you know, in our business, Dennis, as you know, there's a lot of analytical people. And you know who you are, and I love you, and you're some of the most successful students I have. But you also know how you have to check off every single freaking box before you make a move. And sometimes you can't do that. You know, you can't see the whole path. And I'll give you an analogy, and that is, or an example. You can drive all the way across the United States at night with your headlight only seeing 50 feet in front of you, and you know you can make it. You know other people have done it before. You may have some obstacles, but you know it can be done. It's the same way in the business that I teach and a lot of businesses, but you got to take that first step. Then the next piece is you got to play to your strengths. Your strengths are your greatest assets. I will tell you, work in what you're strong in and then hire a line or partner for your weaknesses, okay? My business, the multifamily real estate that I teach, is a team sport. There's lots of different hats you can wear. You can be the person that finds the deals. If you're analytical, you can be the one that underwrites the deals. If you're a mouthpiece like me, you can be the one that builds relationships with brokers, with investors, and raise money. You know, if you've got construction experience or management experience, you can manage the asset after you buy it. So there's a lot of, you know, hats you can wear. But you want to play to your strengths, okay? Your strengths are your greatest assets. And when you play to your strengths, you love what you do. And when you love what you do, you never work another day in your life, right? And when you love what you do and you're playing to your strengths, you're innovative, you're creative. And if you hit a speed bump or you get your nose bloodied, you push through it because you're loving what you're doing. So that's the next piece. Then the next piece is you've got to get in the right peer group. You've got to get around the right people. That's why my coaching program is so successful, because a rising tide lifts all ships. You know, the sad reality is most people default to a peer group they went to school with or that they work with. And those people may have their own fears and limiting beliefs that hold you back. You know, when I was losing everything in 2008, I was in Tony Robbins' platinum partnership, okay? And, you know, it was about $100,000 to be in that for a year. And I was around people that were killing it in 08 and 9 in that crash. They were thriving. And they're like, get up, you puss, 50 million schmillion, go make something happen. That's who you want to be around. Okay, it's people like that. People that think what you think is hard is easy. Okay, so pay attention to that. Get around the right peer group. Let's see what else. The next thing is focus. Okay, you know, the most successful people on the planet have the highest degree of focus. And, you know, look at people like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos, incredibly focused gentlemen. And, you know, and here's the thing though, whatever you focus on gets bigger. Both negative or positive. So it's important that you focus on what you want, not what you don't want, okay? And, you know, they asked Mother Teresa if she was anti-war. She said, no, I'm pro-peace. I mean, you get the analogy. I get people to call me and say, hey, how do I get out of student loan debt? I'm like, wrong question. How do you make so much money that debt's irrelevant is the question you want to ask yourself. So focus is super important. You know, I my podcast actually had about 30 million downloads, Dennis, and I listen to two podcasts. I listen to Joe Rogan and I listen to Tim Ferriss. I try to get both sides of the aisle. I'm definitely on the conservative side, but you know, I on the other side is Tim Ferriss. He interviews the best of the best in the world, the best athletes like Michael Phelps, the swimmer, NFL, NBA players, billionaires like Ray Dalio, actors like Hugh Jackman, Ed Norton, Arnold. You know, heads of the biggest companies in the world like Zuckerberg, and he deconstructs their success. It's fascinating conversation, but I noticed something. 85% of them meditate. What does meditation enhance? Focus, right? So focus is another big piece. I'll stop there, but you know, those are some of the pieces that I did to you know, to get back on my feet, and they're the same pieces you want to use to get started. Very important.
And so I remember Tony Robbins also saying, it leads into your point that where the focus goes, the energy flows. I think that's a quote from him.
That's a Tony quote. Yeah. I spent 26 years with Tony. I was on his team for 8 years. Greatest mindset coach on the planet. Greatest relationship coach either, if you ask me. I'm actually going to two of his events this year. that I haven't gone to in a long time. I had a bad car accident, so you know, I was on a security team, and you have to stand a lot, and I couldn't stand anymore like that, so I had to give it up at about 8 years ago. But yeah.
So when you say that real estate, especially maybe multifamily real estate, is a team sport, maybe you can kind of break out the components of the different players on the team in that case. I know raising capital is
I
your.
kind of just did, Dennis. It's like, if you've got analytical chops, you can do the analysis, and if you
Yeah.
come to my boot camp, by the way, you get my Deal Evaluator software, which is worth a lot of money, and for $17 as well. Even if you don't come, that's worth it. But if you're analytical, that's a piece. If you're outgoing, you could be the one that talks to brokers and has deals coming in. I know if you're if you've got construction or management experience, project management experience, you have to manage the asset after you buy it. It's called asset management. You could do that piece. And if you could also do investor relations, raise money. So there's a lot of different hats you can wear in the business, and you just want to play to your strengths. That's the key. That was the whole part of that message, is to play to your strengths, because and then hire a liner partner for your weaknesses. And some of the best partnerships I see are an analytical person with an outgoing person, because you need the analysis. Our business, as you know, Dennis, is primarily empirical, primarily numbers, but you also have to have the outgoing piece to raise money, talk to brokers, talk to investors, and so on and so forth.
And so I know in your program you have two different investor levels, general partner and limited partner. Can you spend a minute or so and just explain them and draw the distinction
Sure.
between them?
Well, the general partner is the one that puts the deal together. Those are my students, okay? The limited partners are the ones they raise the money from. So that's the difference, and that's a very quick description. But the general partners are the operators, the ones that put the deal together. And again, that's my students. They're the ones that put the deals together, and then they raise money. My students have raised billions, literally billions.
And so, since we're both immigrants and you learned over the years how to do everything that you do now, what kind of guidance or advice would you give fellow immigrants? Maybe they're in their mid-40s or 50s, they have some cash, they've been successful in their lives, and they don't know how to get into real estate and beyond going to your boot camp, because fear is a big factor. What is it that you would kind of say to people?
Do my goal setting workshop so you push through the fear. Life is short. Don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't have regret. There was this nurse in Australia named Bronnie Ware. She was a hospice nurse, took care of patients when they were about to die. And she asked him a question, Dennis. She said, "Do you have any regrets?" She wrote a book about it. It's a bestseller called The 5 Regrets of Dying, or something like that. Number one regret was not living the life I could have lived, living someone else's life. Fear that. Don't fear failure. Fear regret.
And so, Rod, I want to thank you for the great expertise you've just provided us, and we'll be right back, okay? Welcome back to the American Immigrant Show. This is Dr. Dennis Burke. You can download on Roku or Apple TV. Welcome again to Rod Cleef. We've been talking about immigration, real estate, and a whole host of different subjects that are of interest to the general viewing population. And so, welcome back, Rod.
Thank you.
So you mentioned a lot of great information in your interview so far. You talked about your boot camp coming up. Do I assume that that still happens in Orlando or Tampa, or do you travel around the country doing that?
No, I do them mostly virtual now. So I do them 2 days, $17, and it's virtual. But I do have a live one coming up back in Orlando again. It's in January. It's the first one in a couple of years. I haven't done a live one for a while. And so it'll be in January. I'll give you the dates here. I'm just looking it up right now. It's the 8th. Oh, it's my birthday. How can I forget? It's the 8th, 9th, and 10th of January. So I will have a 3-day live event, like just like the one you went to. Expect about 1,000 people there. But I do virtual events almost every 4 to 6 weeks now. 2 days, we start at 11 o'clock Eastern, so we don't kill the people on the West Coast. And again, it's $17 with nothing being sold. So there's no excuse. And if you're interested, go to rodslinks.com or text the word links to 72345. And that link tree, there's a bunch of great free books there. I mean, these are best in class books. They're not crappy. They're really good. They're free. My goal setting workshop is there. It's free. And I won't try to sell you anything. Just get, do it. Have your spouse do it. Have your kids, if they're over 10 years old, do it. There's a guide you can download. My podcast link is there. As I mentioned, I'm blessed to host the largest real estate podcast really on the planet at this point for commercial real estate. Really proud of that. And my social media links are there. My bootcamp site's there. Yeah, so it's all there at Rod's Links. And the live event will be there as well. We probably won't start marketing that for another, I don't know, 30 days or so. But now you have it. You're the first one to hear about it, Dennis, publicly, because I haven't even told people about it. But yeah, so I'll be live in Orlando, just like the one you went to.
So you know how interest rates affect the valuation of real estate, and inflation has tended to creep up somewhat. The Fed is supposed to meet again in September. Maybe you can share your thoughts about where you think interest rates are heading, and generally talk about inflation as well. I know it's a lot to consider, but
But yeah, I if I had the crystal ball on the interest rates, I'd be a billionaire, Dennis. So I have no idea. I know that the new Fed chair is really trying to look at what really constitutes inflation, and hopefully we'll be able to see that it's not as bad as people say. Although I believe it is pretty bad. I mean, and that's what's hurting a lot of these operators. Besides the interest rates not going down, is inflation is. We used to pay our maintenance supervisors $28 an hour. They're at $40 an hour now. So, I used to teach a 50% expense ratio on multifamily, meaning the total income on the property less property related expenses, not the debt, is 50%. Well, now I teach 60 to 65%. Now, at some point it'll reach an equilibrium, but it's still the expense ratio is very, excuse me, very high. So, that's what's killing these operators and sophisticated, very intelligent operators, myself included. There's also been a lot of new inventory that was built in that, crazy time, and it's starting to reach some equilibrium now. But, a lot of these new facilities, these new assets are charging lower rents to fill themselves up. And so it's kind of like a race to the bottom as far as rents. And that's really hurt us at one of our San Antonio assets, and even our Nashville asset. But I believe it's reaching equilibrium, and we'll survive it. But it hasn't been fun, and it hasn't been fun for anybody in the business. But that's why, I'm not just looking at multifamily opportunities. I'm also doing the senior housing thing. I'm on my 8th senior housing facility. Very excited about that asset class. So, I like to consider myself, and I teach that now in my Warrior Coaching program. I teach senior housing and industrial flex space, and some of these other asset classes. But because I think you, as a real estate investor, you need to be an opportunist. I know you are. You're very much an opportunist, Dennis. So, I think it's a the way to be.
So I remember on your team, I don't recall his name right off the cuff, but I know you're going to tell me. Merrill, I think is his name. He's
Oh, Merrill
he is an
Kelleher. He's the
attorney.
SEC attorney that got six apartment complex foreclosures in one day. I mean, the proverbial, what's hitting the fan right now. So yeah, he's my syndication attorney. He's a good friend, but he handles, our SEC work for, when you buy one of these large apartment complexes, typically you'll pool money together in what's called a syndication. And that's what my students do. And I know it sounds scary and intimidating, but it's not. Once you do your first one, it's pretty easy. But he helps people do that. But he also speaks to my groups and kind of updates us on what he knows. But there's, like I said, there's blood running in the streets right now. If there's ever a time to buy, it's right now. Stuff is selling for less than it costs to build, And so, you know, it's a very exciting time to be getting into the business and learning the business to buy this distressed real estate.
And so the thing I thought was most interesting about Merlin, he's not here obviously to speak for himself, but not only is he an attorney and a very good attorney and knows about banking, money, and finance, but he also directly invests in the real estate himself, which I
Oh yeah,
thought was fascinating.
he owns thousands of units. He's building thousands of units. No, he's a very astute operator, and he's even had some trouble. He lost a couple of properties in Austin, Texas, and he's an expert just like I am. And so again, nobody's immune right now, I'm going to tell you. You know, some of these banks are very difficult to deal with. That was his problem. Some of these lenders. But you know, the catchphrase with lenders used to be extend and pretend. They were doing loan modifications and deferrals to try to keep these things off their books, because once a property goes into foreclosure, it hits their balance sheet and it kills them. But those days are over. They are absolutely foreclosing now. So, you know, the deals are coming. They're up for auction. They're already here. We're seeing it already. So yeah, it's an exciting time.
But I thought a lot of apartment operators bought a non-recourse loan. They got non-recourse loans, and so
Correct.
if they got non-recourse loans, it would mean that they weren't personally guaranteed or responsible anymore.
Correct. Correct. They don't come after you personally on a non-recourse loan. That's correct. You lose the property and it hurts your ability to borrow money again. You've got to explain what happened, but they don't come after your personal assets. Now, when I lost everything in 2008-9, I had recourse loans, okay? So it was a lot of fun, okay? You know, dealing with that. You know, I had hundreds of foreclosures with my houses. And yeah, it was no fun, but I've survived. I'm back. My credit's back. All that, you know, it's all good.
There are different schools of thought about debt. You know, Dave Ramsey is very anti-debt, and our buddy from Rich Dad Poor Dad, he just loves debt. He loads up on it like
The
going
right
to
kind of
Walmart.
debt. The right kind of debt. You know, you don't borrow money for jewelry or expensive cars. Or, you know, and you know, Grant Cardone talks about this as well. Now, he claims that he doesn't want to buy a house, but he now owns two houses, so he's incongruent on that one. But the point is, you know, the right kind of debt. You don't over leverage. You don't borrow money you borrow money for assets that produce cash flow, okay? And that's the right kind of debt. As you well know, Kiyosaki, you know, is very clear on that. Ramsey, I don't like his methodology. Nobody saved their way to financial success. That's ludicrous.
And so it would sound like that you wouldn't be in favor of people just buying for cash entirely, unless they don't understand the power of money and how it works.
Listen, if they have the cash resources to be able to pay for ca pay cash, and they're able to continue that process, then you know, it doesn't lock them up. Very few people have those kind of financial resources, but no, I mean, there's nothing better than free and clear real estate. But you know, that the beautiful thing about our country is you're able to leverage these properties. You're able to enhance the returns, increase the returns through conservative, responsible debt. And so no, I'm a huge proponent for debt as well, the right kind of debt.
And so I agree with you. I'm on board with at least a 30% equity and 70% debt, because we know that the rate of return on the 30% that's ours, that's a much higher, versus if we owned all cash, we'd have a much lower rate of return.
That's right.
So I
That's
believe
right.
that's a good process, and I believe you teach all of that in your book boot camp.
I do. Do.
So you don't again. I mean, the inflation is higher. It probably is harder to determine what's going to happen in the next 6 months to a year. But I
It's
mean,
very, very hard. You know, I'm seeing gold go up again, which I'm very excited about because I've got some stockpiles, you know, in a vault downtown here. So I'm liking that. But who knows what's going to happen, Dennis? I wish
Why
I
do you
knew.
think, beyond the fact that there's debt coming up for renewal, like a 5-year balloon, maybe, or a 7-year balloon, why do you think otherwise apartment complexes are going in trouble, especially in our area where we live? There's brand new apartment buildings going up left and right all over the place.
Those were started years ago, though. Okay. And those apartments that are going up right now, if you look for new starts, not a lot of new starts right now. Well, Florida's an anomaly in the fact that you can't keep people out of Florida right now. People are moving here from California and New York like crazy, and Texas and Tennessee. They're moving out of the blue states because of the ridiculous taxation and the regulations. And then you've got the wealth taxes and all kinds of stupid crap they're doing there. But, the reason apartment complexes are struggling because the costs, the expense ratios have gone through the roof. Rents have flatlined or even gone down because of all these new apartments being built. And so a lot of operators are really struggling. And, there's a lot of people struggling to survive, especially the C-class assets. And you're seeing a lot of delinquency and vacancies and occupancy levels, lower than they need to be. And so, that's the biggest part of the problem, Dennis, is all of those things are factors that are contributing to the upset and the distress that's in the market right now.
So, I believe that the assisted living space that you've gotten into is also very robust, but can you maybe explain why you decided more to get, buy less apartments maybe and go in that direction?
Well, because I'm still looking at apartments. If I find the right deal, I'm definitely in on multifamily for sure. But I think the proverbial, what's hitting the fan later this year and early next year, where the real opportunity is here. But senior housing is a no-brainer. It's like a tidal wave of seniors getting old, 10,000 people a day, every single day for the next 20 years. I mean, and they're not building nearly enough beds to take care of these seniors. So, it's a real crisis, but it's a real opportunity. And I love the space. I got my administrator's license, assisted living administrator's license here in Florida in 2007. I went to a class and because I love the elderly, just like I love children. And I was going to get into senior housing. I put a team together. I got the domain name, affordableseniorhousing.com. I was off to the races. And then 08 happened and I got my ass handed to me. So I had to shift gears. And now it's kind of full cycle. I'm back to it again. I'm not going to be the operator, though. I'm not going to take care of the seniors. I'm just doing the real estate piece. But yeah, we're raising money for a deal right now that looks like realistically, conservatively, it has 24% cash on cash. I mean, it's crazy what's happened. I don't quote me on that, actually. I might have misstated. But it's insane. The returns are insane. I mean, where we have to downplay how good it is because it'll look ridiculous otherwise. So.
And so it's not inconceivable that you can get a total return of 24% on the whole thing.
Oh, no, total. Definitely the total return is projected to be that or more.
Yeah. So I want to thank you for taking your time to spend the time with me and explain more about what you do in real estate, how you apply your expertise to the greater betterment of people who want to also succeed and learn in real estate. And I also want to give you a plug and just tell you that there's a lot of people out there that do real estate, talk about real estate. But I will say that from my experience with you is you're an honest, good guy with good intentions for people. And for the little bit of money they're going to give you, they can come out on top much more than putting their money anywhere else. So I do applaud you, I appreciate you, and I'm grateful for the fact that I met you originally back 18 months ago, and that I look forward to seeing you in Orlando and maybe sooner in Florida when we go there. And again, thank you very much, Rod.
Thanks, Dennis, great to see you.